than just being, you know, somehow or another it was a good day, you were Krishna conscious, and then the modes take over again, and after a few months, you know, a little light pops up, and then again underneath, you know, like that. So then...
But even when, even when you take the Lord's view, the view of the scriptures, and you apply it, there's so many choices. Even
there's so many choices.
There's so many choices.
Yeah.
And then, so then the question is, well, you have the spiritual master, well, he may not be around. And you have the devotees, but they're telling you so many different things. One saying this, one saying that.
Yeah, well, ultimately is
why is he saying that? Why is he saying me like that? Maybe what's his interest? Or maybe, you know.
Yeah. Well, it has to, so whatever our activity has to be based on guru, sadhu, and shastra. So then, ideally, we try to set ourselves up and live and work with those that we have that faith in, or we can work, or at least just follow the etiquette with. You know, if it's not dealing in such a, you know, it's the dealings are much more external, then even if one doesn't necessarily see eye to eye, if it's connected to Krishna, it's not so important, you know, which it is. But if it's going to actually affect our spiritual life, then ultimately, you know, we have to do that activity that we can take responsibility for. But we have to see that it's supporting the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Otherwise, sometimes devotees say, well, I have to make my own path, make my own way. I can't depend upon anyone. But then if they give up dependence on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then that's an illusory path. But if they see that they're not getting support or direction, then they have to make a decision. They have to make their own decision. You can't make a decision and blame it on someone else, really. We ultimately have to accept responsibility for our own how we're progressing, like that. Though we may be seriously influenced by others. Was your question answered? I kind of got there, and then I kind of went, not surely.
Not really.
Yes, maybe we could say it again.
Is it better to what we call our natural
conditions? Oh, that's right. Okay,
now,
yeah.
Should we follow that?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so see, the whole thing is we have the ideal, and then we have the practical where we're at. So practical has to be connected to ideal. This is the difference between the view of the devotee and the Brahminical outlook. Is practical and ideal have to be connected, like that. And then wherever in between is practical. It means the situation now and the ideal, they both have to work together. So whether it's more emphasizing the situation or more the ideal, then that's up to this, you know, what is best to apply. But if we just take the practical situation and do something without the ideal, how do we know what the direction is? Like that. It'll go the direction of whatever the ideal was, the value was. So sometimes we have to be very careful, being pragmatic. If it's not based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, on the principles, we may go off in another direction.
No, we're talking about, we know the ideal.
Okay, but my point is here is that ideal has to always be considered. Because generally you get those who talk ideal all the time, those who talk practical all the time. But you have to get the both. Those you find are the most successful. They get things done and they are Krishna conscious. Otherwise, the one may be, you know, talking nicely all the time, gets nothing done. The other one gets something done, may not be so Krishna conscious. Like that. So when you balance the two, then that's the thing. So in the beginning, one will automatically start from oneself, and that's expected. That's understood. That's the whole process of anishta bhajana kriya. When you have the process of performing devotional activities, the sadhana bhakti, and it's unsteady. I mean, sometimes we're more enthusiastic, sometimes there's more influence of the modes of nature. that means we're starting with ourself. Like that, so we do, we see, what do I want to do? Prabhupada would ask the devotee, what do you want to do for Krishna?
You have to come in like that. Right?
Yeah, you have to come in like that. That's just the way it is. It has to be done. Because that's what you're going to do anyway, so you do it for Krishna. Like you know, a dog's going to go up to things, sniff it, and eat it if it's edible. So therefore, knowing that, we put something down that's prasad, and they'll go up and sniff it and eat it. And they go back, they make spiritual advancement. They're going to do. We can't expect that they're going to, you know, do something else. They're not going to. You know, they're going to do that. So we understand the nature's there. It's going to happen in that way. So because it's going to happen in that way, therefore we follow it in that way. But we just see that it's in line with Krishna. We see that it's according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So that's the way we start. Then as we become more purified, then that nature is still going to be there. But we're not necessarily, we're not attached to the results of that nature. But we see that that's the nature, so why create any difficulty? We're moving in the world, we move with that nature. But Krishna becomes the center there. One doesn't put one's own ideas on top of the service. One sees the service and then one brings one's ideas in line with that. But one is still dealing with the conditioned nature. And then when one, the Uttama, then they don't have to deal with the nature. They're beyond the nature. Because you come to Brahma-Bhuta, it doesn't have to be considered. Like the Goswami, they wouldn't have to eat. They wouldn't have to sleep. You know, Bhugarbha Goswami didn't bother with sleeping at all. The other Goswamis would sleep an hour and a half, 2 hours a day, if they remembered. You know, but Bhugarbha just never slept. He just, that's just the way he was. He just didn't bother. Raghunath Das Goswami basically never ate. You know, every other day taking, you know, a little, how much charinamrita fits in your palm and drinking that, you can't, most people would not consider that like a you know, full, you know, a meal like that. Yeah, so, therefore, they just didn't bother with it. But as long as we are conditioned, we do bother with it. Now, it's just a matter of if we start from ourselves first, or start with Krishna first. In either way, we'll come back to the conditioned nature and engage it in the Lord's service. But it's just a matter of whether it's basically free from desire or whether it still has desire. That's all. Whether it's sakam or nishkam. That's the element. You know. So that's all. It's just like we want to preach. Okay, so we're here in India. So then we have something to say. If we just go out looking like everybody else, no one's going to stop and listen. But if we dress like sadhus, then they don't necessarily respect devotional service or Bhagavatam or God or any of these things. But because of their conditioned nature, they respect the social customs of hearing from a sadhu. So therefore, then we will dress in the way and all these things, and therefore, then we follow the social customs because it's beneficial for the preaching. Like that. The other way is that I don't want to be involved in the world, so therefore I dress as a sadhu. That sets me apart from the people. And then since I'm doing that as a sadhu, I should study something about Krishna. It's my duty to speak to others. So you get the same result. But it's just the flavor is going to be different. You know, one is going to be very, you know, freed of contamination. The other is going to be taking your contamination and dealing with it, like that, like this. So the result will be this. Basically, the external result looks exactly the same, but the mentality is a little different. So it doesn't means the point is one starts with ourself. And in seeing from there and engaging. And then we come to the other. But as there's a point in Gyanagami Prabhu, is if you know the other's there, one will always be looking out for. So now and again one may start that way. Though most of the time we will start with ourselves always. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole process of sadhana bhakti, is that the beginning means is that we're just taking ourselves, our conditioned nature, and engaging in the Lord's service according to His directions.
So we understand Krishna's what we should be doing, and we know that we understand what we should do, and so we should. We're trying to adopt that. Is it more intelligent to do it from Krishna's angle of vision? So that means how much we can tolerate our conditional nature. We should do that much for Krishna's angle of vision.
No. Because we bring it down to the conditioned nature. So you come back to basically doing the same activity. The only difference is the change in the consciousness, or the change in that. That's the thing, is that devotional service is not the activity. Because the activity has been engaged in devotional service, it's also called devotional service. Right? It's just like, is fire cooking on its own? No. Is a pot cooking? No. Is sabji just sitting there cooking? No. So, and if you take all those things and put them all together and let them sit there, anything will happen? No. We go in there and make it happen. So we call the pots, all the different knives and the vegetables and the fire and all those things, we all call that cooking. But actually, it's not. The process is that whatever you're doing is by the process of going through heat is becoming, soft, so it's edible. So devotional service is the mentality in which the activity is done. Then, because God is a person and he wants to reciprocate with the others, there's mediums through which that is shown. Therefore, the various activities, the 9 activities of devotional service are there. So the activity itself is not devotional service. Because it is done for the Lord, it becomes devotional service. Like we speak through this mic. Speaking through a microphone, people are doing it all over. It's not devotional service. Only when we speak about Krishna through it is devotional service. We can also speak about Krishna without the mic. So the mic is not the essential element. Like that. So, but in the beginning, because we're so used to these things, like there's someone, he won't speak without a mic. So therefore, yes, arrange for him a mic and let him speak about Krishna. Like that. Because the conditioned nature is there. Without that, he won't do. Like, we chant Hare Krishna. Someone won't sing unless everything's perfect. Mridanga is perfect, the kartal is perfect, everything's perfect, the situation's perfect, no one's making any noise. Then they can sit down and do a nice bhajan and feel some, satisfaction, some nice feeling. But if somebody's not playing right, some kids yelling and screaming, too many guests are coming in, something's wrong, the voice is not good that day, then they can't sing. So you therefore try to arrange everything perfectly so that they can engage in Krishna service. I was like, all these buildings is that. Prabhupada could sit down under a tree here in Mayapur, but we will not be able. So we build all these buildings so we could come and sit down here. Not that the buildings are important. Sitting down in Mayapur and engaging ourselves in devotional activities is important. So to do that, if we need a building, we'll build a building. People should do devotional service. That's all. So if you need to create the environment, only in a certain environment you can do, then we create that environment. But the environment itself is not devotional service. The creating that environment so people can do devotional service, that's the service. And using that environment in Krishna's service, that's the service. But the externals themselves aren't. The body itself is not devotional service. But that I engage it in Lord's service is. So that's the thing, is that in the beginning one sees more the karma side, later one sees more the jnana side, later one doesn't bother with either of those. So it's just a matter of the approaches to it. Like that. The Gita, the first chapters are telling about the activity, emphasizing that side. The last chapters are emphasizing the knowledge side of it. But ultimately it's just the devotion. Like that. Because the intelligence is still also a material element, the mind's a material element. The body's material element. So ultimately, it's the soul's relationship with God. When that's fully developed, then one develops a spiritual form. A spiritual form develops. But in the meantime, this form, because it's being engaged in devotional service, then is considered spiritual. Right? To that degree it's engaged, to that degree it becomes surcharged. Does that make any sense? So it has to be done. That's the difficulty. Janani Vaspuri was mentioning, is you get some will talk and all the rules and regulations and all the, Varnashram and this and that and so many things. And then others go, no, it doesn't have to be done at all. So what you get is you get the view of the Kanista, get the view of the Uttama. But as a preaching mission, we take the middle, the Madhyama. The Uttamas come down to the Madhya platform. The Kanistas always act in the duties of the Madhyama. Though their consciousness may be Kanista, they're performing Madhyama duties. The Uttama may be an Uttama consciousness, but performing Madhyama duties. So that Madhyama path is the activities are performed, but only for Krishna's pleasure. We want to please Krishna, we do it in this way. Like that. So therefore you'll see the form, social form and these and that, but that's not, we don't see that is how we're going to get back to Godhead. We're not going to go back to Godhead by Varnashram or by all the rules and regs. We're going to go back to Godhead because of devotion. But because Krishna does these things when he's here, he acts as a Kshatriya, acts as a Vaishya, acts as a householder, as a Brahmachari. Therefore, we also do those things. It pleases him. But we're not thinking that by Varnashram we're going to become perfect, or by all our rules and regulations we're going to become perfect, or by giving them up we're going to become perfect. Saji, as we give them up, we become perfect. Just that I'm not following the rules, right? I surrender to the Lord. I'm a karmi. Then I hear about, Vaishnavism and Lord Chaitanya. Then I surrender. And then I hear about these rules which I give up. So I've never followed them. Like that. So it doesn't, so you have that side. And then the other side is that, the rule itself is going to get you a result. I worked like this. I worshipped Indra. It has to rain. I did it. Right? I'm the center. Like that. Or the other is, I'm the center, all these rules don't matter. Like that. So the real point is for us as preachers, is we take that middle. Is we follow it as much as our consciousness is absorbed in it. But the basic, form of it will be there. There has to be some form. Like, I'm going to serve you prasad, there has to be something with which there has to be prasad, there has to be something I carry it in, whether it's a pot or a clay pot or a steel pot or a bucket, and there has to be some way to get it onto your plate. It should be a plate. So those forms will be there, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is serving, eating, enjoying the association, it's prasadam, for glorifying the Lord. But some will get into, what the bowl is, what the plate is, this, that, and so many things, and that is perfection. If that's perfect, even if we're not Krishna conscious, then it's okay. But if there's something distracting, we're not Krishna conscious, like I'm coming to serve a shad, you don't have a plate, that's not proper etiquette. I'm not respecting the Vaishnavas, I'm not respecting prasad. So therefore, I see and give you a plate. Then I'll serve prasad. So someone may make that comment because it's not actually in the proper mood of devotional service. Because it's not in the mood, therefore it's done. Not that it's the rule that there must be a plate. No, for us it's devotional service. Vaishnavas are respected, there's a culture in which that's done, so the externals come. So we start from the in and comes the out. We don't, but in the beginning we have to start from the outside and then slowly, slowly we'll get in. We do the gross, then after a while we notice that the mind exists. The intelligence exists. They're two different things, right? Every day we listen to them argue with each other. But we don't see them as separate. We think that's me. Then we understand, I'm not that. There's me. Then there's this mind and intelligence arguing with each other. And then there's this body that has all whatever it wants. It's hungry, it's tired, it's this, it's that. And then we see that we're completely separate from these things. And then ultimately we get to the point, it's the devotion. Like that. So you're just going through the stage of gross, gross matter, subtle matter, and spiritual. So it goes that. But we start from the connecting the gross to spiritual, then the subtle to spiritual, then the two are discarded and it's just spiritual. Does that make any sense?
So we put Krishna first, but then there's also levels of surrender.
Yeah, yeah.
To Krishna.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is when the surrender is not so much, then kind of we consider the situation and how much we're willing to surrender this and that, then we put Krishna there. Like that. The others, we put Krishna there first, and then we look around, what is our situation?
And then where does the dovetailing fit in this?
The dovetailing means the grosser dovetailing, means just the standard, process of sadhana, is we see what is our situation, what directions does Krishna give for engaging that situation in his service? Like that. So we see ourselves, we see our conditioning, we see our situation, see, you know, what needs to be done. Then we, how that can be done for Krishna. Like that. The other dovetailing is you're dovetailing the subtle body, because the gross comes automatically with it. Is you see what pleases Krishna, and then, okay, what is the subtle nature, and engage that. Automatically the gross will follow. Like that. So both ways you're dovetailing. Only when we come to the Uttama platform there's no dovetailing, no need to. So like that. So we don't. Means we ourselves may personally be coming to that Uttama platform, but how you say, we always work on the Madhyama platform. You know? Though, even though the consciousness may be Kanista, we still are preachers and we are involved in the Krishna mission. So what's happening is our service is always the same. The neophyte and the very advanced devotee, you're always going to see Madhyama activities. But due to their level of consciousness, then you may see more inspiring or lesser inspiring results. Like that. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes?
Yeah, Guru tells his disciple to do something, and the disciple thinks it's not my nature. What is the situation?
Then one presents, see the it. When then one presents one's doubt, because idea is one wants to please Krishna by pleasing the spiritual master, and one wants to follow the instructions of the spiritual master to go back to Godhead. So then if the instruction of the spiritual master doesn't seem to match our situation, then we're not sure how to apply it. So that doubt has arisen, we inquire, we ask that doubt. Like Arjuna, Krishna has explained the whole Astanga Yoga system. And he has a doubt. I'm a Kshatriya, I'm passionate, I can't sit down like that. So I don't feel that this is going to be right for me. Could you please explain? So either he'll explain how it is right for him and how he can do it, or he'll explain how actually maybe it isn't right for him and he should do something else. But if our desire is sincere to get the Krishna conscious result by pleasing Guru Krishna, then it will work. But if it's a matter we don't want to surrender, don't want to do, that will be a problem. But in any case, still we should present it. But we should still, if we're going to present it, we should be expecting an answer. You know, should be expecting an answer. We shouldn't. Otherwise, many times as we ask a question and we get an answer, then we say, no. Then we re-ask the question and then we get a little bit more specific, and we keep going until, you know, either we get the answer we want or we figure out that it's not, we can't get the answer we want. Like that. Like that. But that kind of thing we try to avoid. But the inquiry is, having doubt is natural for being in the material world. And inquiring to remove that doubt, that is the Krishna conscious position. So if we're given an order, we don't understand it, it is not un-Krishna conscious to ask. It's not in Krishna conscious to want to know how to properly apply it. Like that. Of course, if one has been told a million times, then that's another thing. Then it may cause some... Then the answer may come a little more strongly. You know, to cut through the ignorance. But if we're under... But to inquire is not a problem. To not understand and then want to understand so one inquires, that's proper. It's not improper. Sometimes devotees don't know. I remember it's in Poland we were discussing and asking questions and this. And then devotees started asking, somehow or another somebody asked a question. It was a very simple question. You know, it was something that you would have questioned, it would have come up in the first couple of days that you joined Krishna consciousness. But because they were embarrassed, because everybody else seemed to be doing and all this and that, they thought themselves foolish for not understanding. So after 15 years, they're asking like that. So it's not wrong, you know. Though sometimes we do goof with others, means they ask a question, we say that's foolish or this or that. But if one is sincere, then it, you know, should always be answered. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, I think we should.
You are mentioning that the subtle comes after the gross, right?
No, the gross comes after the subtle.
All right.
Means in application, we're going to start with our gross body and look at that, then look at it back into the subtle and go that way. But what I'm saying is that it works from subtle to gross. That we have a desire, want to do an activity, start with the mind. So we're going to start with that situation, what we want, what's the fruit we want. Then we're going to look at that, well, okay, how to gauge that in Krishna's service. And then we're going to go back that way. But in fact, it comes down the other way. It started with the mind, then comes to the gross body. But how we get out of it is generally starting with the gross body and going back that way. You know, our just awareness.
Someone has more facility to control the mind in some respects, in terms of relationships or whatever, but has more difficulty dealing with his gross body, needs more sleep or things like that. How do you explain that this may happen simultaneously?
Because they're two different things, the gross and subtle body. See, it's that the subtle body is going to be there. And relationships with others, you use the gross body for that. So basically how they use the gross body may create the situations. Like they may be very good with dealing with other people, so good that they stay up till midnight talking. So then we find that their health and all these things may not be so good. The effect of that will be there. So pleasantly can perform sinful activities with other people, and that destroys the body. So it's one has to see what that means, that they're good at relationships, but what does that mean?
You're controlling the mind, controlling the senses. Controlling the mind is like one may have more facility to control the mind in terms of people's relationship, illicit relationship.
Okay.
But not be able to control one's own person.
If one's controlling the mind, then the sinful activities, this and that, won't be done. Here it's just a matter of everyone has to eat according to their needs or sleep according to their needs. But once it was always trying to purify that, like that. Because we mentioned is everything's not all that, it doesn't all happen all together. Everything kind of happens, at different points. So our consciousness may be moving, our control of the mind. That's why it's very important to be an association of devotees, because every devotee is concentrating in a different area due to their own conditioned nature. And therefore, they will advance more quickly in that area. Another area they may not have noticed or they didn't focus on it. So by association, then one gets the benefits of all those different levels of advancement. Like that. So it's just a matter of practice, and then the others will adjust. They will adjust, though it may take longer. That's just where one's weakness is. Point is if one has 100 desires, and by sadhana and intelligence and control and austerity, one cuts that down to 3. One has a very controlled mind, very regulated, like this kind of way, but still one has 3 desires. Right? So one may have a strong mind from performing that kind of activity in this life or past life, but one still hasn't come to the liberated platform. There's no desires. So therefore, one may see some desires. But if we're only dealing with a couple, then we know that's fairly good. That's better than having hundreds or thousands. Right? Any is bad. But if you see that there's control and there's so many things, but there's some still strong desires, one understands so much has been cleared away. This is an advanced person. Right? Their situation is an advanced position. But they still have to deal. Like you take Durvasa Muni, very advanced, very austere. But when it comes to his ego and him being the best, he is completely uncontrolled. But it's down to that one. He is the best. You know, he's an incarnation of the mode of ignorance. So that pride is there. He has no problem controlling the senses. You know, he's offered lunch by Ambarish Maharaj. They've just been walking all day. He goes down to the river to take his bath and then gets absorbed in his meditation and completely forgets about eating. So if he couldn't control his, he would have just sat down then and ate. So he's controlled in that. He lives very austere. He's always on the move. Doesn't have a residence. But that one thing is there. So that's the point, is that control of the mind is one of the aspects. But ultimately, it's still material. Therefore, devotion is the real thing. So it may be very controlled mind, but no devotion, then there's always a chance that will take them off in some other way, in an impersonal direction. He just meditates on Brahman, that I understand. It mentions in the, I think it mentions in the verse that he went out, took his bath, and then they're supposed to, the end of the bath, then the final bath aspect is called as Manasika Snan, where one meditates on, we meditate on the Lord. We think of the Lord, and then the last part of the bath, or it's like after we've taken the bath and that last, you know, freezing cold rinse, we remember the Lord. So that kind of a thing, that's the Manasika Snan. So one's meditating upon one's deity. Theirs is the impersonal Brahman. To do that, they got to do pranayama, they got to do so many things because the mind doesn't readily accept the impersonal. So it becomes more of a ritual for them. For us, just a moment thinking of the Lord, it's done. Yeah. So it's just, but if we just stay with the process, it'll happen. There's no separate endeavor. We don't have to endeavor for liberation separately than how it automatically comes in devotional service. Like that. That's the thing. We don't have to automatically endeavor for humility. Krishna has arranged enough situations for us to practice our humility in. We don't have to, you know, go outside the front gate and, you know, stand there and get harassed by the rickshaw wallahs just to become humble. No, it's just as it is in our day-to-day life, you know, every day there's...
That's one of the arrangements.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's one of the arrangements. Krishna is arranging it that, you mean when you... If you have to go out and take a rickshaw, then of course it's part of the whole program. But it's, you don't have to separately endeavor for it. It's automatically included in devotional service. You will get all these opportunities to use our intelligence, engage our activities, be humble, respect others, not commit offenses, you know, whole program. But it's, you don't have to separately endeavor for it. It's automatically included in devotional service. You will get all these opportunities to use our intelligence, engage our activities, be humble, respect others, not commit offenses, try to remove the difficulties for offenses or improper things. We get those opportunities like that. If we want, Krishna will always remain, always give. Doesn't give to three. You'll have to ask the person who gave the class. Because I don't know who those three persons are, you know. No, that was last question. This is another question. So we'll have to end here. It's getting close. Gajaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jaya Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.